Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 71 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and this week we're going to cover your nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment, talking about the release to Xbox and PlayStation 5 specs, so we'll do a little bit of a comparison as far as pure power between those next-gen consoles. In entertainment talk, we just see more movie delays coming, and also some movies going straight to the streaming model. And then we'll move over to tech news and talk about how Gabe Newell believes that The Matrix is coming sooner than we think. Elon Musk offers to support coronavirus through the production of ventilators and masks. SpaceX gets some new approval from the FCC. And then some Russian hacking at the back end of the show. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 71 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And quarantine week number two. We're both in states. Yeah, we're both in states with the stay home orders over here in California and Illinois.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we are in separate states. So we do every show with social, well, quite a bit of social distancing.
Yeah, so right now I'm actually enjoying a little bit of additional time at home. I got projects with the kids. We're having a good time. Legos every day. We were my daughter's learning how to code as we're spending some couple hours a day practicing on some coding. So it's good time for me to spend with the kids.
Yeah. I'm what's considered essential services. I'm an electrician, so I am out there still busy. It's fucking mid-March and it snowed like 3 inches in Chicago yesterday. So not only is everything quarantined and I'm still one of the only assholes out and about, but I'm trekking through the snow now. Yeah, my life has not changed that much considering I have two kids and no time anyways. So I'm back on the grind again as soon as we leave here. Off to do more Sparky shit.
All right, well, let's get through the weekly news so you can get back to work. Let's jump into Xbox, as what we got early in the week was the Xbox specs, coming out on both their raw computing power and then some updates to their controller, and then PlayStation released their specs as well. So we can go over both, here, starting with our fan favorite, the Xbox side of house.
Yeah, we're both Xboxers. Not ashamed of it either. Again, to me, it's more of the same. So Xbox has the more powerful machine. PlayStation is going to ride on its exclusive game titles, and the world will fight about it. Like, it's just how it's going to go.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment there. I mean, both of them, they're, you know, it's marginally more powerful. The Xbox just has some better raw computing power and GPU power there, but the PlayStation has I think they went with a variable model, so whereas the Xbox is going to have a fixed clock speed, so it's going to have a fixed performance, the PlayStation is going to have more variable performance, which if those exclusive titles and if the actual game developers take advantage of it, they can still kind of overclock and take advantage of some of the features that that variable speed provides them. But other than that, I mean, they're pretty much the same. I think the only like technical spec difference is that they're both coming with essentially the same solid state drives. Xbox has got a little larger of an initial hard drive, and then the PlayStation is allowing for expandable storage that you can just buy off the shelf, just general expandable storage.
Yeah, I mean, but to me at this point, if you ain't coming with a terabyte, you could eat an ass, because that's some bullshit. Like, who the fuck deals in gigs anymore? You know what I mean? Like, you got games that are fucking 124 gig downloads and shit. You gonna give me 500 gigs out the box?
So it's 825 like, gigs asshole. Out the box of solid state storage. And then, but your external hard drives or whatever else that you already have, just USB hard drives, you could just plug and go, whereas Xbox is going to require you to have their proprietary hard drive type that is going to just be managed. I think Seagate's making it, but it's going to be the Xbox branded hard drive, and that's the only thing that's going to work with the Xbox Series X. And I get it, because Xbox wants whatever you expand your storage with to be able to perform at the same level, whereas PlayStation can't.
Yeah, it was convenient to be able to just use whatever, you know, USB 3 hard drive you had to upgrade. So if, you know, the Black Friday sales or whatever, you could find a cheap one every once in a while on the internet. But I do understand this logic that, you know, the hard drive has to be able to keep up with the speeds of the machine. And if you have a hard drive lagging, then it could affect performance, and you're going to blame that on Xbox when really it was just your cheap ass Western Digital piece of shit fucking hard drive. So it's kind of like a kick to the shin, but I totally understand
now
why they're doing it.
I do
it.
Need to clarify before somebody yells at us in the Facebook group that I didn't cover it. The truth is you actually still can use a standard hard drive on Xbox for legacy games. So if you've got a stack of legacy games that you want to be able to play, you could store those on the hard drive and it can play those. But any next-gen games will have to come out of a Xbox-branded solid-state drive, whether it's the one in the system or it's one of the expandable ones you buy.
Yeah, again, you know, if they're able to achieve the performance level that they're aiming for, full, you know, what is it? They're going for 8K, you know,
yeah,
and 120 hertz, 120 frames. Like, that's the quality of these games are going to be astronomical. Like, I don't know many people that actually understand what the hertz and frame rate is on their TV. I have 120 hertz TV upstairs in my room. It's one of the first HD TVs I bought. It's not 4K, so I'm still gonna have to upgrade to a 4K 120 hertz at some point to maximize the visuals from this machine. But even my HD 120 hertz TV is probably 10 years old, and even when I watch things on that, it competes with my brand new 4K 60 hertz TV, because the 4K, it just deals with clarity and color. It has nothing to do with smoothness and how the actual picture flows on the screen. So what I lose in color, I way make up in actual just like crispness of the picture. And so I'm really excited to see if they can pull off these specs. I will buy a new TV for you.
Well, I think in the end this is going to boil down to what the last generation war came down to, and you know, there's no Kinect associated with this one. They're not doing any weird stuff that's going to just increase the price. All right, you know, Xbox got killed because they were more expensive than PlayStation. They're going to be more powerful on the beginning. Some of the people believe that that's going to equal a slightly higher price tag, that Xbox is putting more into the package, that has to come at a cost. And if they come in more expensive than PlayStation, I still think they lose.
Well, they're going to lose either way. A lot of people don't realize that the Japanese are very loyal to their brands. So as they're both global companies, you ain't gonna find a fucking Xbox in Japan, man. You ain't gonna find these Japanese motherfuckers fucking with Xbox. You don't. Like, you mean, yeah, there's exceptions to all the rules. Like, yeah, come at me, bro. But for the most part, you know, Xbox is blocked out of a major video game market because Japan's all about that Sony life. You know, they're very brand loyalist. And when you compare those numbers, you know, not to mention some video gamers are also brand loyalists in the United States, and PlayStation's been around for a lot longer than Xbox, and some have never even really given Xbox a chance. They just started with PS1, and that's just who they're going to ride out with, you know, for the rest of their lives. So it becomes a very misinformed war a lot of times. And as I said in the Facebook group, like, I got nothing against PlayStation. You know, their exclusive titles are some really great games, but I'm sorry, I prefer Xbox. The controller is built for a grown man's hands. Yes, I said it. If you fucking with the PlayStation controller, take your baby hand ass out somewhere else. But you like, I like the UI better. I like what they do with Xbox Live. I like the community, what Xbox brings to the table. It's not just about games and hardware. And I'm not going to drop another $500 just to play four games. Like, my life is not going to be lacking because I can't play the next Last of Us or fucking God of War. You know, it's not going to.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with like the UI between the two, and how much better they're going to make improvements to some of just the basic systems. I think if Xbox comes in around the price, I think they're going to get closer to, you know, you talk about the PlayStation's been around longer. There's people who, yeah, but when Xbox 360 was out, it won that war. I mean, it had more of a market share. It lost its market share going into Xbox One. So it's not a matter of necessarily brand loyalists, whatever. They had a poor rollout, and then it's almost impossible to overcome the poor rollout of the next gen once people start dropping those hundreds of dollars.
Well, the Red Ring of Death did give them a bad brand for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while. So I think in the end, it's going to be interesting. Xbox sounds like, again, a more powerful machine to begin with. I don't care about...
Xbox has no problem selling these systems at damn near a loss. Like, they make no money, barely any money, on selling these consoles.
Yeah, both of them.
They never have. Yeah, so they're going to drop that price to stay competitive, because they're more looking to get your Game Pass money and your subscription money. Like, that, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to buy what they already know. No one's, like, standing in front of the PlayStation and the Xbox going, which one am I going to choose? Like, that group is very small. Everybody already knows which one they're going to buy. Everyone's already arguing about it. Like, just you could pretty much hit those under and over numbers right out the gate.
I don't know. There was some information around the updated controller. I don't know if you wanted to talk about the improvements to the controller, but
yeah, they changed the bumpers to be ergonomically better. They changed the D-pad to more of the Elite controller D-pad. Didn't really do much with the shape. Like, I'm a huge Xbox controller fan. Like, that controller just fits in my hands so perfectly. Like, so all the improvements that once I took a look at the controller, they look like it was, you know, they're minor, but they could affect your gaming and improve it a little. It seems to me like they took some of what makes that Elite controller really good and integrated it into the next gen.
It's all the same to me. But yeah, I mean, everything looks good with it. So I guess no point wasting more time here. Let's roll over to more entertainment talk on the movie front. And hey, there's no movies to go see out in the theater. All theaters are essentially closed at this point in time. Theater,
fucking womp womp.
Theater industry is taking a huge hit. We saw, you know, more movie delays after we recorded the last episode, in the form of, you know, Black Widow finally announced that it was getting released. Everything between now and end of May is either making the tough decision of, do they delay somewhere in the slate? And then you got to think, like, the competition in that slate is going to be huge, because you're no longer going to have buffer from people's releases. So even if you delay it, you might be delaying it to go against a Black Widow, as you were trying to avoid the whole time. And now you're going to get crushed by delaying your B-rate movie. So there's tough decisions, and that the theater industry is doing everything they can to still maintain these theatrical releases.
Yeah, I like this. This is gonna be interesting to see how this all plays out, because there was a few companies really pushing for home release upon the release of movies. They wanted you to have the option to watch it at home or go to the theater. And the initial rollout was going to be something like you pay what would be the equivalent to like two or three movie tickets to watch it at your house, because, you know, just like pay-per-view, you don't know how many people are sitting in your living room watching.
Yeah.
So they're not going to charge you for one ticket when you got eight motherfuckers sitting on your couch. But they were talking about like charging a $30 to $50 fee so you could watch a Black Widow at home rather than going to the theater. They've been floating that around, but they always wanted to do some kind of profit sharing with the theaters, because they know it's going to affect theater revenues, and these are the people that have carried this business for a century. And now with the quarantine, we've kind of like pushed that. So Trolls is getting released as a home viewing. You know, Onward has just got pushed. Like Skywalker, a lot of the stuff that was still waiting to come out on Blu-ray is automatically just going straight to digital for you to buy or rent. I think when it comes back, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have people that really enjoy watching these new movies at home. I live in a legal state. Don't mind smoking a bowl while I'm watching a brand new movie. I got a big ass TV and surround sound, so it doesn't really affect my life too much. I think what's going to end up happening is in order to get people to come to the houses or come to the theater and leave their houses, you're going to need to do away with just that basic screen. Every theater in the movie complex is going to have to be a Dolby or IMAX type screen. You know, like the I don't see them being able to just let people watch these movies at home for 2-3 months and then saying, all right, virus is gone. Get your ass back in the theater. Like, it's not going to be that easy.
Or roll out more things like AMC, the A-list and stuff that shows value over time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an A-lister, so like, and I enjoy being in the theater. You know, some of the things I do like is being in a crowd of people and watching, you know, seeing if they have the same reactions that I do. Like, it was one of the things I enjoyed about watching Knives Out is like the audience loved it and I thought it was pretty meh. And every time they would laugh or like have a reaction, I would just like look around like, what the fuck are you people watching, man? Like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, so I do kind of like that. I like walking out of the theater with friends and people and having those initial discussions in the parking lot. Like, I enjoy the theater, you know, so for me, I'm going to still go. But like I said, the draw of just that basic theater experience now is going to be gone. Like, everything's going to have recliners. Everything's going to have a dine-in. Everything's going to have to be IMAX or Dolby level in order to get people to leave their house if we're going to continue to do at-home viewings.
Yeah, and I don't know how much the at-home viewings are going to keep going beyond this. And I think it's still going to be tough. We see, so Hollywood Reporter did an interview with one of the major theater company executives, and he is very upset about Universal doing dropping Trolls straight to video on demand.
Oh, because Trolls, I already bought my Trolls tickets for me and my daughter. Like, Trolls was going to be a draw. It was going to be the major draw.
The fact that, you know, he even talks about it, he wasn't upset about the fact that like The Hunt and Bloodshot and Onward and these movies that had already released, like, they have no choice. They already had the release date. It's not like they're going to have a secondary release date once the theaters come back. So they've already missed their window because of this. And he doesn't in any way fault them for going video on demand now.
Yeah, but Trolls is going to be the first one that just goes straight out.
And that's what he says, is that Trolls took it a step further than any Universal. He doesn't throw Trolls on the bus. He throws Universal on the bus. He says Universal took this a step further than any other production company in just skipping the theatrical release all over the place. And if you read the Q&A from Hollywood Reporter, and the link will be up on the Nerd Cantina, nerdcantina.com/show71. But in there, he mentions the theatrical release model being that all the other production companies, except for Universal, still believes in the theatrical release model. Everybody else still believes in the theater model. Everybody else, and he's just throwing Universal on the bus and saying, well, the theater companies will never forget what Universal did here on Trolls. And like, he's just throwing complete, just like veiled threats that Universal
they have rights to what movies they show in their theaters, how many screens they get if they get
that extra 3D money, if they're going to get those theaters and the Dolby theaters that are going to get them that extra $1-$2 bump every time.
Like, I'm always pissed at the Naperville show place for AMC because I guess they must not do a lot of business on 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock hours on Thursdays, and they royally fuck me because I don't go see these premiere movies until after my kids go to bed at 8 because I don't want to leave my kids. And they just kind of like stopped posting 9 o'clock movies, 10 o'clock movies. So now I got to drive my ass another 20 minutes to a different theater that actually still does the 10 o'clock Thursday night premiere movies, you know. And like, I've been meaning to write a letter to Naperville and being like, what the fuck, bro? Like, I steady go, like you need to offer something after bedtime for me to come write these fucking reviews. You're fucking me here.
It's interesting. The longer this goes on, I'm curious if more companies, not just Universal, ends up taking more, you know, titles and going straight to release without a theatrical run, but
well, what's crazy is like, you know, Universal's going to have Peacock that they could release all their shit on. AMC has its own streaming fucking service. Like with movie companies being so intertwined, like that's the thing with these big conglomerates, right? Is now they all have their own streaming service. And they could just say, well, fuck it, man. You could rent it on Peacock. You can rent it on Apple TV. You could rent it on, you know, whatever service they own or whatever stocks they hold so that they can benefit from it that way. This might start a war, a little theater war. Who knows? Like, this is kind of messed up.
Yeah. Like I said, it's really interesting. Like I said, this head of the National Theater Association definitely stated, I mean, like his quote is that only Universal on trolls undermine the theatrical model. Exhibitors know who their partners are, and every other studio has demonstrated true partnership and belief in the theatrical model during this time of crisis. Like, he's just saying, fuck you, Universal.
That is like the heavy worded email where, you know, per my prior email, like if you would fucking read the last email, like I love those memes. But yeah, that's basically what he did, was just, you know, wrote a stern speech where, you know, he could release it to the public. But in his head, he is motherfucking these people.
But I mean, it would be pretty easy if the Theater Association just decided that your next $1 billion movie only make $750 million. Like, they could do it. They could do it easy.
Yeah, they can.
Just by limiting how many
screens. You know, they don't have to put your movie in the IMAX screen. You know what I mean? They don't have to put your movie in the Dolby Theater. They'll just take the next fucking Universal movie, put it in that theater 12 where you got to walk all the way down that long ass fucking aisle
with nothing but old legacy seats and no cup holders.
Oh, and before we move on from movies, I've been wanting to go off on a rant for a little while
about
fucking movie theaters. yeah, me. And I always forget because I see it on a Thursday night and then we don't record till Monday and I fucking forget. But while we're talking about IMAX and Dolby, one, we have 20 minutes of previews to start off the movie anyways. Like my movie starts at 9 o'clock. I don't even leave my house till 8:55. I show up at like 9:15, get my popcorn and shit. And I walk in and I still got to sit through one or two previews. Then, and this is the big fucking frustrating part, IMAX and Dolby have to give us this like, what is the difference between IMAX and Dolby compared to regular screens, like intro? This was black on screens before. This is Dolby black. And they got the guy shooting fire and it's like half the fire is the old screen and the new fire is the fucking new screen. It's like a 5-minute fucking intro. Bro, these things have been out. I seen it. Like, I don't need to sit through this fucking Dolby intro every fucking movie I go see. Like, I got it, man. It's darker. It's crisper. You're fucking loud. IMAX, I get it. You're brighter. You're bigger. We get the fucking point. Y'all motherfuckers ain't new. Just get to the fucking movie. All right, but they got to pat themselves on the back for being this new fucking technology every fucking week when I go in there. Like, man, send out a fucking email and move on with your fucking lives. Jesus Christ. Take it like, bro, like if I quantified it, I've probably spent 4 hours in the last year watching the difference between Dolby screen and regular fucking screen. 4 hours of my fucking life is gone now because they want to tell me how much better they are than the shit theater next to me. Guess what, motherfucker? I paid the extra $4 for the ticket. I fucking know. I know. Just go. Move on.
Yeah, well, they're probably just trying to justify for cheap people like me who... I will still look at it, ticket prices and look at it like, okay, this hour is going to cost me an extra $3 per ticket than that next showing that's not at the 3D. And I'll still think, I don't know if this movie's worth it. So assholes like me are the ones that they need to be like, look, it's worth it. It's worth it. This is what you would have seen. This is what you're going to see.
You are fucking me. It is you. It is your cheap ass that is fucking me because they have to constantly explain to you why they needed your $3. And like you're the asshole that is costing me 4 hours of my fucking life. That's the beauty of A-List, is that all the screens are covered in it. I don't pay extra to go to Dolby. If it's in Dolby, I go to Dolby. If it's in IMAX, I go to IMAX. As long as the time works out, that's where I go. You know, like, But no, yeah, you like who holds on to a Washington like it's the fucking like it's a roll of toilet paper and Corona, like motherfucker.
Absolutely. All right, are you done with your rant? I don't want to cut
yeah,
you
I'm
short.
Yeah, I'm done.
Here. All right, last in entertainment talk, which will get Steven on another rant here, and that's going to be releasing the butthole cut.
Man, trademark TM, goddamn it! I came up with that. Like you would have to show me the Twitter hashtag post with a timestamp on it to prove that you beat me to it. Because I put that shit up in the cantina the minute the fucking article came out, and even the dude who put up the article, I commented in the comment section, hashtag release the butthole cut, and he changed his motherfucking headline to the article to release the butthole cut, like it was his. Yeah. He at least in the comments was like, I'm stealing this. But
it's
then, like 2 days
Twitter
later,
and it's everything.
Release the butthole cut is trending on Twitter. I'm like, man, like, what the fuck?
All right, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about for the last minute, apparently it went on Twitter. Somebody who was a friend of somebody who was a part of the Cats production, apparently told his friend that he was hired on to spend hours of releasing or deleting out what was some swirly hair on the ass of some of the cat characters that looked like buttholes. So he was literally hired to spend hours just digitally removing cat anuses before it hit the theater.
Oh, you know there's some thirsty women out there that wanted to see that. Idris Elba butthole. Idris Elba butthole. That Idris Elba butthole. Oh, and I know some people that wanted to see that Swifty buddy, too.
I was going Judi Dench, but all right.
Classic. The fact that they had to pay somebody hours to remove them means they also paid somebody hours to put them in. Like, so there was a butthole installer for a long time too.
I just like that.
You know that fucking dude hated his life. He hated his life. I went to college for this shit. Like, really?
Yeah. So somewhere out there, it was identified on Twitter that somewhere out there, there is a full, like, this was post-production. So there is a full, well-produced is an overstatement for Cats.
Yeah, well-produced.
A completely produced version of Cats that has just a bunch of cat anus everywhere. And,
word on the street is if you zoom in on Taylor Swift's butthole, there's a picture of Katy Perry in it.
Oh, God, I feel like there's no reason why Universal should not release the butthole cut, because people might actually finally pay to see the movie.
Like, it's the only way I'm watching. Buttholes
are
nothing,
Amazon
bro.
Prime.
Buttholes
are
nothing.
$4.99 for the regular one and $8.99 for the butthole cut, and you're gonna start selling butthole cuts.
You're gonna start selling butthole cuts galore. the gifts that'll come out from the butthole cut. Like, I want them. I want them all.
All right.
Oh man. This is a great story.
Somewhere,
this
if we did some
story.
Digital forensic analysis, we might be able to trace back the hashtag release butthole cut to Steve here. But either way, he didn't put it on Twitter. He only put it in our group. So whoever put it in the world gets the credit.
Dicks. Fuck. Yeah. And all I have to say is, you know, when you do your editing and posting, release the butthole cut needs to be in the title of this episode. Just for good SEO.
Yeah. Just so we get it.
Oh, God. I think that's it for entertainment. That's a great way to end that segment.
All right, let's go into some tech here. And I guess one of the first stories that I saw this week, it was just interesting. We get Gabe Newell, who made a comment that he did an interview with, I can't actually remember who they did the interview with, but a lot of people have picked up the story, and Gabe Newell talking about the fact that we are closer to being a part of the Matrix than people realize.
Yeah, it's you know, we talk about Neuralink and stuff on the show all the time, and how cool it is, but like I guess we are really, really fucking close to just plugging in your life and taking that, what would it be, the blue pill?
Yeah, so he believes that, he talks about that the whole like simulation thing of the Matrix, he thinks misses the point of what the innovation is going to happen, and he doesn't really care about that. But what he does think is that we are incredibly close to these computer to brain interfaces just being easy. He states that now that he's really looking into this, and Newell is the co-founder of Valve, and he just says that he's now looking into these brain computer interfaces, and he's been spending a lot of time working towards this. And what he's found is that it's actually way easier to map out an interface with the brain than you would ever think it would be. And we are really close to having this, what he calls the brain computer stuff, actually working. And he thinks that people are understating the drastic change that's going to happen in this world when we gain all of the access to just read and write off the internet with no input other than just brain thoughts to interface, to do a Google search, to do
I'm still unclear on how this actually works. Like, so if I access something from the internet from my brain, okay, I get access to it, but essentially do I have to still read it, or does it, like, I just learned Taekwondo. You know, like, does it just instantly go into your fucking head? Because, like, there's no, you know, just because I can now see it in my head doesn't mean I don't have to, like, read it, comprehend it, download it into my neurons, and store it into my permanent, you know, memory storage. You know, like,
so the initial testing,
are they talking about just being able to download information into your fucking brain? Like, we're still, like, you are just essentially cutting out the screen. You're cutting out the screen.
You
got to drill into my fucking head to do it.
I mean, not necessarily, right? There was that one company we covered last week.
Cerebro,
just put on a bike helmet and wear that all the time. In the end, like, right now, Neuralink is obviously, it's a cell phone app. It's an app on your cell phone that the brain chip allows you to control your cell phone with your brain. And it says you could just be doing Google searches. Like, I still imagine at this point in time, because it's like app based, like, you're going to mentally do a Google search and you're still going to have to, like, scroll through to, like, page 4 to get what the fuck you want and find the actual articles. Like, there's still time that needs to be placed in it. But you're also going to, I'm sure, be able to use the app and stuff like that to just catalog things that you just want to be able to recall, and then you could just quickly
what I think will be the benefit for, like, someone like me, right? So now you've eliminated typing from my life, because I suck at typing. I'm a horrible typer. Two fingers all day, you know. Fucking QWERTY don't mean shit to me because I'm just two fingering it all day, you know. So when I would write a review, I could really just, like, transmit my thoughts to the page instantly and cut maybe an hour out of my writing time, you know, to do these things. Like, that I see as a huge benefit. Everything else, like, what are we trying to save our thumbs some work? Like, is that really what we're trying to do?
I think you are underplaying it, though, because if I'm in a conversation with somebody, or I'm just going about my normal day, and I don't have to reach into my pocket, I don't have to spend that extra 10 seconds to open up an app, to look something up, to just do a quick search, that all of the information of the internet is near instantaneous.
Well, this, I mean, but at the same time, like, isn't this going to affect our social interactions even more? You know, I got asshole friends, you know, when I'm talking, like, you know, how's the podcast going? And I tell them how the podcast is going, they're going to be watching, like, midget porn in their dome or something. Like, they're not going to be listening to me anymore. Like, we tone each other out on a level right now where, you know, people talk and you only catch the first and last words, and you can't remember a goddamn thing they said in between. And that's without having the access of the internet in your fucking dome.
I mean, and I'm already an asshole trying to prove people wrong before they're done talking. So you allow me just to start fact checking them and Googling in real time as they're having a conversation with me? It's over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that actually will help, you know. People are going to be calling fake news by, like, the fifth word.
But no, Gabe Newell just talks about, again, as the owner of Valve, and looking at the future of of Half-Life and looking at the future of these games, he just talked about that he called it an extinction level event for every entertainment form that's not thinking about brain to computer interface. That if you're in the entertainment business and you're not thinking about this, you're going to be thinking a lot about it in the future. And he thinks that, you know, video games are going to have to figure out a way to leverage brain to computer interface.
So now I just picture, you know, like when you're playing Mario Kart and you got the controller in your hand, you're always like taking that left turn and you're turning the controller to the left and you're leaning to the left and everything. Like, are you going to be playing Super Mario with no controller now, but every time he jumps, you're doing like a head nod up? Like every time you're trying to, you know, you're playing Forza with your brain, but you're still leaning in your fucking chair. We just got all these people. Like the picture I have in my head of the future is quite comical right now.
Yeah, I don't know where it's gonna go. But I could see, you know, especially like the company that we discussed last week with the Cerebro, right? The headgear that you could put on that'll still do brain mapping and brain to computer interface. You know, I could see the Xbox branded brain Cerebro that's going to allow you to control or gain some information or whatever else directly through a brain to computer interface down the road, right? Obviously, you know, we're still talking about external HD drives right now on a current Xbox coming out, but somewhere in the future, as these things become easier to map out and to become kind of cheaper, I could see this actually being
this will integrate really well with, like, what is that, Google Glass, that one that like set of glasses you put on, it's got the one screen over your one eye. Like, I think this is, you know, this will help, you know, the things you could probably do with it once they perfect Oculus and VR, you know what I mean, will probably have massive benefits. It just seemed, it's really weird. You know, like we just got rid of cords on controllers a decade ago.
Yeah. But innovation and technology, it always moves faster. It's so every iteration of technology moves faster. So yeah, it takes a while to get rid of cords, but then to move on to the next thing is
yeah, we finally get a wireless controller. Then 10 years later, we just get rid of the controller. Like, man, like, talk about exponential growth. Like, holy fuck.
All right. Anyway, I think it's interesting. We can move on to some other topics here, as we've got a few things left to get through. And we can talk about Elon Musk and his support of coronavirus crisis. So it came out that, you know, somebody had asked the question about whether they could use kind of the HIPAA filters and their kind of vacuum systems in the cars from Tesla in order to make ventilators. And Elon Musk just said, yeah, absolutely, we could. And then it really became like a challenge. Like, okay, well, when are you going to start making ventilators for the support of the coronavirus? New York mayor immediately came out and said, hey, we'll be a buyer. We will absolutely be buying your ventilators. When are you doing it? And Elon, at first, it seemed like he was backtracking a little bit, coming in, replying in tweets that was like, okay, well,
yeah, which, I thought he was going to balk.
Okay, well, which hospitals actually have a need? Because it's going to take some time to produce this, and who actually needs it? Is this an overblown thing? And the mayor put out a call saying, hey, if you're a hospital who's running short on ventilators now, just go ahead and retweet this. Let them know who, in the end, Elon, who was super reluctant during this whole crisis, Elon Musk has been a bit of a dickhead about the whole coronavirus thing with regard to, he kept his plants open until the sheriff's department literally came and said, like, you are not an essential business. Like, you're done. As much as Elon just said, even once it got to a point that it was like optional, to work, Elon, as the CEO of the company, instead of saying like, hey, if you guys are feeling threatened, feeling sick or whatever, I'll stay away. All he did was tweet just saying like, well, I'll still be at work tomorrow. So, and we talked last week about how intense he is to work for, and as a company to work for. So, you know, him putting out that tweet, that is his way of telling everybody, I'll see you in the morning. Like, we're not shutting this shit down for coronavirus. And eventually got to a point where he had to. And now he is moving forward with some of the things. So he is using his production capability to develop masks, the N95 masks that were in like millions of masks short. He did the first delivery of masks to University of Washington hospitals yesterday. And then he's said that he's moving forward with the production of ventilators, and he may have up to 1,000 ventilators starting next week. Pretty cool. At least we could see the production capability of this country kind of focused on one area.
So two things I love. All right. One, there's a lot of, you know, Musk type rich people out there that want to help. And, you know, I don't like shitting on anybody's charitable, you know, contributions, no matter how little or big they may be. But for the most part, most people in his position just like to throw piles of money at things, which we all know for these rich people is really not much of an effort. You know, the numbers they throw out are astronomical to us, but to them, it's really just pennies in the bucket, and they're contributing to help, and we all appreciate that. I love the fact that this dude is showing ingenuity. He is innovating. He is not just saying, well, here's a bunch of money, go buy ventilators. Well, we can't buy ventilators, motherfucker. We need them made. And he is taking his brain power, his resources, and making the fucking things. You know what I mean? Like, that is a whole nother level of care, philanthropy. Like, it's above and beyond what anybody else in his position is willing to do.
Yeah, and I mean, to give credit to some of the others, GM has also come out, and GM is also making ventilators out of their automaker factories around the country. They're starting to make ventilators as well. I think Ford is talking about getting in it. This is where, you know, this is kind of like the War Powers Act that a president has, in the sense that, like, really, you could obligate these companies to do it.
That's what I was going
to
say. You know, in Ford versus Ferrari, Henry Ford II, there's a line in it. He's, you know, he points to the factory, to Matt Damon, and it says, you know, 6 out of every 10 tanks rolled off that line during World War II. You know, there was a time in this country where people said, you know, fuck it, this is for the good of the country. We're going to shut down what we do. We're going to use our resources.
And it wasn't always
gonna help
for the.
We're going to help our people.
I mean, sometimes it's obligated. Well, yeah,
I mean,
right?
People profiteered off
the president has he can obligate certain production capabilities to go towards war efforts. But I mean, here we're not seeing obligation taking place. We're seeing these companies that, yeah, their business is being kind of shut down and negatively affected. So, but it's good to see them step up and take a different approach, use their resources to start delivering these needed masks and these ventilators. And it's like, if you look at the hospital setting of like Italy, who's getting crushed, and you look at like everybody's got a plastic bag on their head. I don't know if you've seen like the photos of their ECUs and stuff like that, but every single person in the wing of the hospital is on a ventilator with these big bubbles and hooked up to a ventilator. And you know, if New York City keeps growing in cases and stuff like that, you never know. Right now, there is no need for ventilators in our hospital systems. We have enough ventilators. And Elon Musk believes that there probably never will be a need by the time he delivers all the ventilators he's going to make. But it's better to have more than to not have enough if you get to that point.
So second thing I have floating on in my head right now, and I just wish I was more artistic and had the tools to create this, but T-shirt in the merchandise mart coming soon, trademark, copyright, Nerd Cantina. We're musketeers, man. like we love this dude. I am now branding myself a musketeer.
I feel like that probably exists somewhere already.
I haven't seen it. I'm taking it. Unless you could prove it, I'm stealing it then. but we are fucking just loving everything this dude does. Like, he is one of the greatest minds of our time. And from here on out, you could brand me a musketeer.
No, yeah,
bro.
I do love him.
I'm down.
He's a complete ass of a person at times and stuff like
but
that.
But I'm a complete ass too.
But I respect somebody for that. I didn't say that was as a negative trait. Like, I feel like you're taking that as a negative character flaw. That is absolutely not a character flaw. Yeah, he's at least innovative where it needs to be. He's pragmatic when appropriate, and we see here him being able to put to use some of his production capability as well as other companies. So good to see. We can move on from this topic, as we don't want to get down the coronavirus well here. this week for another arm of Elon Musk, we got SpaceX. SpaceX was approved by the FCC to deploy right now up to 1 million of these small satellites, which
did look the like, FCC just give this dude a rubber stamp? Like, did they just give this dude his own rubber stamp?
I think so. like, I mean, the FCC wants to provide internet to everybody's home. And that's always been a big goal of the FCC, is to have reliable internet, broadband quality internet to every home in the country, rural and everywhere.
So they can slow it down and fucking charge you for it.
And Elon Musk, he's getting pretty close to that. They did launch the 60 satellites that they had the aborted flight on last week. They did launch it this week. So another 60 satellites up in the air. He'll have U.S. coverage for Starlink this year. And the next step is having these receiving antennas, because you can't just pull it from the satellites. You have to, there has to be something that receives it and makes the signal into almost a Wi-Fi signal here. And then there's these UFOs. They look like little UFO discs on a stick. And that's what receives the internet signal here on our terrestrial Earth here. And and he's got approval to put 1 million of them across the United States to receive and then transmit those signals. So we'll start to see these little discs being placed all over the country. You know, you got a million small antennas, and then FCC approval to launch up to 42,000 low Earth orbit satellites. This is a big network.
Yeah, I'd say so. What gives me pause to think about, though, is like, once Starlink is up and running and just engulfs our entire planet, and we have internet access to damn near everything, once you combine that with quantum computing, man, it could get really creepy out there. You know what I mean? Like, you give a computer that has, you know, quantum computing capabilities access to the entire globe remotely like that, man. Well,
then you take fucking, his other company, Neuralink, and put it in your brain, and now all of a sudden you got Elon just being able to broadcast directly to your
fucking
brain.
He just gets high one night and, you know, wants to have a laugh and hits one button and the entire globe pisses their pants. Like, you know, tweets out something like, oh, did everybody make a potty? Like, this shit could get crazy, man. Like, all this shit is crazy.
I think all this stuff's nuts. I don't know if you saw, there's this new show coming out about like these Alexa devices spying on everybody. I think the show's called Next. Have you seen any trailers for
the
show?
I want to say I've seen one. I think so.
I haven't seen much of it other than like, you know, I saw it really briefly, just like a 30-second.
No, it's a movie, ain't it? It's with the dude from Workaholics, right?
Think so.
And the Alexa's trying to kill him.
I thought it was a TV show.
Now
I want to look it up. Now I want to find it.
It's a movie. It's got the dude from Workaholics, and he was on Modern Family. I can't remember. Adam Levine.
No, that's
like,
the...
No, but it's something like that. It's something like that. And, yeah, I want to say the Alexa in his house is like out to kill him, and you know, like it was like his girlfriend, and he broke up with it, and like it's some weird like premise.
But, well, the trailer itself was talking about like, you know, distrusting companies that know everything about you and predict your behavior and track everything that you do and whatever else, and you've let it into your bedroom. And then it shows like a chick waking up to like an Alexa that has like a red ring around it as it's spying next to her head on the nightstand. I was like, oh, this is great. I want to see how they turn this into
something. It reminds me of like of that scene in what was the movie with Kristen Bell where she breaks up with the dude from How You Met Your Mother, and Russell Brand's in it, and they're at that dinner and they're all making fun of her because she was in that movie where the cell phones try to kill you, and they're like, how'd you make this movie? Like, why would you do that? How does a cell phone kill you? Like, it's like the next generation. Like, somebody watched that movie.
It's a Fox TV show. I told you, Fox TV show. It's coming out. It's called Next. It's about the powerful AI and all of these devices. It's essentially Alexa causing a global catastrophe.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a movie along the same lines too, because I've seen that. Maybe it was a TV show.
All right.
We have a crack research team here, folks.
I'm gonna find more about it. Join us over at thenerdkidsdata.com/community. I'm gonna find more about it. I'm putting it up in the group. We're gonna debate. All right. I got derailed here. Yeah, where are we at? Yep. Yeah, that real life story.
Putin, oh yeah, Russia, the Russians.
This is a good one. So yeah, I think it was from Forbes. Yeah, Forbes this week talked about Putin's secret intelligence agency being hacked, and they've got some intelligence agency that is looking to use a new cyber weapon in the sense of hacking a bunch of IoT devices. Talking about Alexas again, and Alexas and Ring cameras and Nest thermostats and Nest cameras and all these other IoT devices that exist, and having the ability to hack them. As we've talked many times, and Steve and I have debated on where the onus of how easy it is to hack these things and how vulnerable they are.
In light of this new information, I might have to side with you from now on this.
But they're notoriously bad at having any level of sophisticated security, and their firmware is normally out of date and it's not automatically updated and it's not push updated firmware. So even when you do have them protected, they're constantly exploitable. Russia knows this, and they've developed essentially a system to hack hundreds of thousands of them all at once through kind of a bot. What's really crazy about it is you would think that they're trying to hack this. We talked about the threats with IoT devices, because if you could get into somebody's home network, and if you could do that through an IoT device, you could then kind of backdoor your way into the more secure devices, somebody's cell phone, somebody's laptop. You could find your way into having effect on other more secure devices by gaining an exploit into that less secure device. What we see with this Russian plan is it's more of like a state-run. How do they gain access to hundreds of thousands of things to shut the internet down? That when they can gain the computing power of hundreds of thousands of devices that are connected to the internet, how can they overwhelm the internet as a whole to temporarily shut down communities, to shut down internet access? And that's their overall focus.
Yeah, it's just massive. They're going to use all these Internet of Things devices to launch massive DDoS attacks, which anybody that's ever played World of Warcraft, has an Xbox Live or PSN network subscription, you know that the worst thing to fuck up your fucking good time on a Friday night is a DDoS attack. Now put that into, you know, infrastructure, computers and things like that. Now you could wreak havoc on cities, towns. You know, we're all connected.
I mean, let's say you're Russia and you want to go pull off another Crimea, or you want to go land grab or go invade something, or, you know, we could put it as, I'm sure Russia is going to talk about it in the realm of self-defense, because they're looking to do this during neighboring countries, is specifically who they're targeting with this. Is how nice would it be if a country you were going to invade couldn't actually communicate the movements of your troops via Twitter, and there's no early warning capability. There's no, everything kind of relies on the network. That would be a significant benefit to have as a country in a military environment.
Next time they want to invade Ukraine, they just shut down, you know, Ukraine's internet and the global internet, if anything, you know, so that nobody knows for a couple of days. And then once they're all set up, they're set up, you know, and it's harder to remove somebody from a land than it is to stop them from coming in.
Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting thing. Interesting that it's even a thought, right? That this is a priority of the country. And you gotta always wonder, we're probably doing the same thing. I gotta think we have the same capability. I never think that any country has a capability that we don't have.
All the major players, we probably all have the same capabilities. It's about having the same morals and ethics.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say this is a fair game. If you're gonna actually engage in actual land warfare against another country or something like that, to be able to shut them down, shut off their communication nodes, shut off their internet, this is fair game. This would not be unethical in warfare, assuming that it's used for that reason. And I think it's a really interesting capability, really interesting. You know, we've talked about the exploit of these IoT devices as, say, something that we need to all turn on our two-factor authentication, and we need to be aware of these exploits within our homes to protect ourselves from hackers, and protect ourselves from people just being dickheads to our kids on Ring cameras and whatever else that we see. This is a completely different ball game that Russia seeing how easy they are to hack, and that they could do hundreds of thousands of them all at once with bots and AI, and then just essentially force these IoT devices to flood the internet with requests.
Cripple a network.
So really, really interesting to see what could be done if you essentially made a 600,000 IoT device supercomputer that could all do their own.
Now, we need to start a list of stories like this, and we'll have Bill Clay back on in a couple months, and we'll do another
update to
scary internet place, you know, and we'll ask him about these things as we get more and more stories like this, as we are now privy to more and more hacking stories of infrastructure. You used to not hear about it as much. Now it's starting to become more commonplace in our lives. We're gonna have to touch base with Bill every four to 6 months and see what's really going on out there.
Well, that's a week. That's a week in news right there. And I think the only thing left is just to say thanks. Thanks again for listening to episode 71. This week here, this episode is going to come out just before our 1 year anniversary of doing this podcast. So next week we will have eclipsed a full year of Steve and I talking over nerd topics and weekly news. And we appreciate anybody who's been with us for the whole ride, or if you picked us up for the first time here, it's greatly appreciated. Just please like, subscribe, and let's keep this thing going.
While you're in quarantine and you're firing up the old Xbox and gaming, just say, hey, Google, play the Nerd Cantina Show. Catch up on some old episodes, some Cantina conversations that stay pretty relevant throughout the time. Even if it's some old topics that are a little out of date, I'm an asshole. I say a few dickhead things in between. that might make you laugh. I give no fucks.
please join over at the community over at thenerdcantina.com/community. And let's engage in some conversations.
Yeah, I can't express how much fun I have in that group. Like it was one of the better things that have come out of us doing this in the last year. It was an idea that we toyed around. We said, screw it, let's make a nice little, you know, separate community. And the amount of participation and conversation that goes on in there still, you know, blows my mind. You know, I appreciate everybody that contributes to that group. And, you know, I think everybody has a good time. There's a lot of names on there in the comments and a lot of different interests and topics. And I've only had to delete one comment. It's so far so good. It's going pretty well.
And that was his own. I mean, all right, let's get out of here. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week, nerds.